It's often the little things, small behaviors, that can change our lives. That's the power of a financial edge. I'm Ed Meek. I'm a financial advisor with a passion to help you retire early, save more, and live better. Welcome to Ed's Edge, the podcast to help you live the life you've always wanted.
The sky is falling. This time, it's different. How many times have I heard this? In the nearly 30 years I've been in the investment world, I've heard this many, many times. The tech bubble, the credit crisis, the pandemic recently, right now, on a timely basis, inflation in Russia, and the sky is falling. It feels like that. Every time we run into something, it feels like that, or at least people have that angst. And what should I do? Well, maybe gold, commodities right now, or timely crypto. James, what do you think? Should we?
I think we're going to go all in on that next week. No, we're kidding.
All in on what?
All in on all those things.
Wow. I'm glad you're not the final decision maker.
That's right. You know, the point there is, at the end of the day, we tend to overreact to certainly some bad news, but it's never as bad as it seems. It's also never as good as it seems. We're always somewhere in the middle. And so when we pay attention too much to the news, when we talk to others, feelings get involved, and that's when poor investment decision making can happen. But before we talk about our today's topic, which is how to handle a market downturn, such as a one we've just started the year off, which, by the way, is normal. We were recording this today on March 29th.
March 29th. Yeah. What a great day.
March 29th, for all of you listening, is Ed Meek's birthday. So happy birthday, Ed. I think it's finally time you can start claiming Social Security. Is that right?
If I was disabled, you can get Social Security almost at nearly any age, I think, if you're disabled, but I'm not quite there yet. If I wanted to claim early Social Security, I'd be 9 years away.
That's right.
So I'm the big 5'3". It's a great birthday to have. And I feel special today. Thanks, James.
You're most welcome. You're most welcome. So happy birthday, Ed. With all that being said, let's get right into today's topic, which is, again, how to handle a market downturn. We have three steps for you. Mm-hmm. And we're going to get right into it, tackle them. We highly encourage you to just write down one or two things you took away from each of these steps so that going back later, we all know the market will have another downturn in a couple years or whenever the case may be. It will continue to happen. We wanted to equip you to know what to do during those times.
If you adhere to these three, it will go a long way in helping you accomplish everything. And some of them were things that we might have mentioned in the past, but in this context, it's really helpful. So the first one is have a financial plan.
Have a financial plan. It sounds simple. You've heard it from others before, but we want to provide a little bit more perspective on what having a financial plan is. No, it is not, I'm going to work until 65 and then I'm going to retire. That is a start. It is a start. That is not a full financial plan. We're going to show up here some visuals to paint the picture on what planning might look like. Let's use an analogy. We're driving in a car, we're going on vacation, and we're not flying because we're worried of flying. So we're going to drive in this example. So here's our lovely car. You see it on the road. We're ready to go. Before the trip, what do we want to do? We want to check our tires. We want to make sure our car's gassed up. We want to maybe check on the engine, make sure that's well equipped. We also want to develop a roadmap on what's the best way to get to our destination. All of that is planning.
Google Maps now.
Yeah, the Google Maps makes it a lot easier for it than 30 years ago, right?
Right.
So we have this plan, and then we start driving, right? That's execution of the plan. But we start driving, and then what happens?
Well, at first, we're excited. We're driving down the road. It's a beautiful scene. the rooftops down. It feels ideal, and that's what our future and what we're looking forward to is going to be like, right?
Yeah. In a perfect world, we're cruising. That's when the market does nothing but go up. But we know that's not always the case, like the start of this year, like COVID times. What happens? It starts raining.
Now it is raining, and the windshield wipers are going. We have to slow down a little bit. We have to figure out, you know, what's going on. And did we check the tires? Are they sufficient to be in the wet weather? But that's okay. We know that these things happen. We have to make adjustments. Like I said, slow down, maybe get off. Maybe it took longer to get to the destination, change our hotel room, or whatever the case may be. But it's okay. We're still going to get there, just maybe a little different than what we originally thought.
Yeah, it's accounting for those unexpected events that happen randomly. But again, we cannot lose sight, and this is where we get in trouble. We've seen it firsthand plenty. We cannot lose sight of where we're going, right? We don't want to get off the road and then drive the opposite direction back home. No, we're still going. We want to go on vacation.
And we're trying to prevent this next image, right?
That's right.
There's a lot we can do in order to just completely break down. If you set this plan up ahead of time correctly, you will avoid those major things most of the time, which is a complete breakdown and screwing up your trip. I mean, I've heard of trips, people who, you know, if you don't do this right, you know, it could derail you to go on the trip or really, really mess it up.
Your car breaks down, you're not traveling anymore. You're done.
So we know that, you know, having this plan is super important. I think you guys get the gist. You have a great example of this, right?
Yeah. You know, there was a gentleman I've worked with for a period of time who he had a financial plan, not a concrete one, though. And his goal was, I'm going to work until a certain age, and then I'm going to retire, and I'm going to live off my Social Security and my investments, right? So that's a starting point. It's a good start. But just like that rain example, he got laid off during pandemic times prematurely, not according to plan. And so that was the time to slow down, reassess, look at the risk, look at everything that's involved in the financial puzzle, and figure out what's next. And that's often when people do raise their hand because, again, accounting for that the unexpected is where people need some help. And that's where we can chime in and provide that for them. But based on the plan we did, he realized, I really don't need to work much more. I can find some part-time jobs. I can do certain things that perhaps it wasn't on the linear path I wanted, but that's okay. And so takeaway in summary, step number one, have that financial plan. Stick to that financial plan and account for some of these unexpected events.
I think one of the things, just to kind of like finish up that example you had, I remember you telling me, was he had a plan, like originally in his own mind. He hadn't worked with you. He was kind of doing his own thing. And it wasn't necessarily a terrible plan, but the downside to his plan was, if you have a plan that's set up where I know that life's going to work out this way, I know I'm going to have my job until X, I'm going to make X, I'm going to put away X, and everything's predicated on that, it can get derailed pretty quickly. And I think he was fortunate enough that it didn't completely derail his situation. But if he would have maybe taken some steps ahead of time and had a plan that I think is a little more flexible to be able to allow for variabilities like that, it can make a big difference, right? Because he was pretty despondent, right, when things happened. And you were able to kind of get him back on track. But if you don't have the right plan, and that's super important, it's not just have a plan, but like if you just have your own that's out there, it could be right, it could be wrong. A lot of times people think they do until they come in and we start looking through it and fleshing it out a little bit more. So
here's a perfect example, which ties to step number two, risk, right? If you look at charts, which we're going to show some in a minute. But if you look at charts and you think to yourself, well, the S&P 500 makes 10% a year, so I'm just going to buy the S&P 500 and let it go. You're not accounting for risk. And when you need the money, it's what's less important than the 10% is consistency in your returns. And that's when people get into trouble, is they think, oh, it's 10% every single year. I'm fine. No, it's not the case.
So, or they get close to retirement and they're like, oh, well, if I make just 7% a year and I pull out 3 or 4, no big deal, right?
Yep. There's some math that states actually with volatility, you can run out of money a lot sooner than you think.
Way more often if you take too much risk.
Exactly. So why do we bring this risk piece up is especially during these downtimes, we tend to feel the risk a little bit more. We feel it. Back to sticking to the plan. Time frame is so important. Let me repeat that. Your time frame is so important. Here's chart number one. Over a 1 year period of time, you have about a 75% chance of the market being positive during that period, right? It says 73 here, right? So 73% of the time is the market positive. That means 27% of the time you're going to lose money in that given year. And so if we need the money in 1 year, do we want to just buy the S&P 500? This is the S&P 500, by the way. Do we want to just buy that? Probably not if you need the money in 1 year, right? The odds aren't perfectly in your favor, but let's fast forward to say 5 years. Let's look at that one.
So over a 5 year period of time, things start looking a little bit better. Only about 13% of the time since they've been tracking the S&P 500, have there been any period of time where the stock market's been down. So almost all the time, the markets are up. And then when we look at a 10-year period of time, it becomes even more dramatic. Only 6% of the time has the stock market been down. Why am I pointing all this out? Well, the reason what we're trying to do is educate people on the realities of the stock market. The beginning of the podcast, the sky is falling. I want to get out of the market. I want things, I don't want my investments to drop. What happens is people have the short term, like, I think I can control my long term plan in ways that you really can't. It's very, very difficult to do that. And we're gonna show you and talk about that a little bit later. And we've mentioned it before. But at the end of the day, the money that you want to leave there for the long term, if you're far away from retirement, or even if you're in retirement, there's some money you're going to need longer term when you're much 10
plus
older.
Years.
Yeah, 10 plus years. It's okay to have that money in the stock market. That's the point, is see these charts, understand them. And if it's a short period of time, if you're going to need money in a year or two to buy a house or send your kids to college, don't even flirt with the stock market.
But Ed, what if I'm convinced we're headed for a recession? I am convinced we're headed for a recession.
Well, you're going to be right. We are headed for a recession. The question is when. And that's the big deal. That's really what a lot of times people run into is they have convictions. In fact, I would say most of the time, and you probably would agree with this, that when we talk to clients, rarely do they say, I really feel great. I feel like the stock market's going to be awesome for a while. Even though they foresee some things that usually we kind of see around the corner of what are all the bad things that can happen. And sometimes they play themselves out. But I also want to point out that when they play themselves out like that, it's not nearly as bad as they think. It's much shorter, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And this is the next slide we're going to show. I know we're showing a lot of slides today, but we will attach these for you to see more specifically, not just on this video.
In the show notes, you'll be able to pull them up if you want.
Yeah. This is a chart of how long and how dramatic both bull markets are and bear markets are. And if you can tell there, more often than it goes down.
Yeah, it's very short. You can see the yellow pieces where the market's dropping. These are short intervals. But a lot of times we think, and that's why people react, this time it's different. Well, I don't know if that's this time it's going to be different. I mean, we don't. No one knows the future. I kind of have this saying I mention almost everybody is, I can help you do all of this and it'll work. Assuming Armageddon doesn't happen. And I know I've mentioned that before, but we don't know what Armageddon is. But if Armageddon doesn't happen, then most likely there's a really good chance that this will continue to happen the way you see on this chart.
But Ed, we want to time it.
We do want to time it. Stop. We're not going to get to step three if we can solve this piece of the puzzle right now. If you have been able to time the stock market in any way, shape, or form, and you can give us, James or me or Edge, any help in that area, we want you to call us right now. 630-221-1000. Or maybe you know of a portfolio manager that has been able to time the stock market consistently. I'm not talking about, oh, I got the pandemic right, or nobody got that one right, but or even just this Russia kind of inflation thing. Maybe you got it right. If you are really good at this or know of somebody that is, please tell us. And the reason is because we've never found anybody who's ever been good at this.
Case in point, you know, all of those hedge fund managers that you might have heard from in 2008, 2009 that predicted the crash, right? They have predicted crashes all the time. And there's the saying not to discredit them, but even a blind squirrel finds a nut sometimes. Mm-hmm. And so a proven formula of timing the market, we are all ears. Please call us.
I mean, we've mentioned this numerous times in podcasts. You can't time the market. And we will continue to believe this. We will continue to communicate this until it's proven wrong. And you may be right. Like certain sectors, even if I should have all my money in oil this year, you'd have done great. That's the only thing that's up as of today because of the Russian whole thing. But that's versions of timing the market. And even though people hear that and they can say that, they tend to want us, because we're the professionals, to be able to do that. We don't even need to do that. If you adhere to and realize and acknowledge these charts that we've shown you, that over 90% of the time you're going to make money over a 10-year period of time, then let's stick to that. And we don't even have to worry about all these risks that you're worried about when it comes to the stock market. They kind of play themselves out and they're shorter than we think and we get through them. It's just fear causes us behaviorally to act in particular ways over the short term that doesn't bode well for us over the long term. All right, so that break is over. Let's get to step three, and we will redo the whole podcast if somebody comes in and gives us market timing. Otherwise, listen to step three.
All right, step one, have a solid financial plan, know where you're going, know all the pieces of the puzzle and how to get there. Step two, understand your risk, understand your time frame. That should help provide some perspective during volatile times. Step three, unless your life drastically changes, some life events happen to you, for you, stay the course. I know it's simple. I know it's arguably boring. It's effective.
Keep that plan. Stay with that plan that you've created, that solid plan. Stay with it. And it's not like we just put it away underneath the mattress, right? We tweak it.
Yeah.
You know, you may have planned on having two kids and then you had triplets and now you have four, right? I understand that. But that doesn't mean you have to completely change the plan. It just means we got to tweak it some. You get ill or, you know, move. like your one client, you know, surprise, thought he was going to work longer, you know, all of those things. But you can adjust to it and you'll still be okay.
The example there is like, again, you're still in the car, it's raining. We're going to switch lanes, drive a little slower. We'll be okay. We'll get there.
So I have this example of a client who sometimes one way of wanting to change course will be this idea of, I know everything makes sense. You've shown me, Ed, that, you know, I'm going to retire at this certain time. We're going to have a certain kind of mix of investments that will accomplish that. But then that one company, you worked in an industry where there was a few companies you knew about. All of a sudden, he knew about something that was going to happen with this company. It got revealed overnight. Before the market opened, the stock was up like 50% or something. And he was in a panic and he called us and he wanted to buy some, didn't want to miss out, and still believes to this day, and it might be the case that it will, that the stock will do well. But I said to him beforehand, what's the purpose? Why are you doing this? Are you trying to grab lightning in a bottle or buy that kind of lottery ticket? And buying stocks is that example. Sometimes this whole crypto phenomenon has been that example because people have made tremendous amounts of money if they got in at the right time. And I'm not against any of these things. I'm not even making, you know, we did a couple of podcasts on crypto. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it definitely is here to stay. It has its place. But all of those things aren't even necessary if you have the right plan. Now, it's okay to do those things, but you may want to make sure you just have a small percentage of your portfolio that you in your mind go, you know what? I want to kind of take these risks, these chances, catch that lightning in a bottle, maybe buy the lottery ticket that's really going
to
pay off.
It's money that you can afford to make a mistake on, right, is the simple way I'd think about it. Money that you cannot afford to make a mistake on because it's for your future shouldn't be for those type of things.
Right. And so we're not saying don't. We're just saying have it in an appropriate place.
Yeah. Yeah. All right.
And now it's time. Ed's food for thought.
I'm going to take it this time, Ed.
Ed's? James's food
James's
for thought?
James's food for thought.
We're going to switch this up. It's my birthday.
I'm taking over.
I'm not handing it over to him like permanently or anything, so don't be worried. But I wanted James to share. James, I want you to share with me what is your absolute like favorite dish at a restaurant that you know very well?
Yeah. I have one thing in mind, and right away it came to my mind, Papado Seafood Kitchen. Now, there's only one here in Illinois. It's in Westmont. I used to work at the one, 20-some years ago, in Arlington Heights. And the reason I worked there is I love their food.
Does that mean you qualify for Social Security, too?
Almost. I got a couple years to go. Yeah. So the Papado Arlington Heights, it closed down. It's now a Cooper's Hawk, I think. But nonetheless, at the time, absolutely loved it. Papado is still around. It is a Cajun seafood place. My favorite dish is an appetizer that is very large. You can probably have it as a meal if you really love it, like me.
Might be a little rich for a whole meal, though, don't you think?
Depends on how like
you like it that much. Yeah, okay, all right. Right.
It is the crawfish and shrimp fondue. You put it over garlic bread. They serve it on top of garlic bread. It is delicious. So try it out next time you're in the Westmont area. There's plenty in Texas as well. It is a chain, but for those in Illinois, Westmont. Papado Seafood Kitchen, their crawfish and shrimp fondue. Very good.
I have never had it. I've been to that restaurant many years ago, but maybe we'll have to go there for your birthday since you didn't want to take me for mine.
Sounds good. All right. With all that being said, everyone, thanks so much for listening. We'll talk to you next time.
This podcast represents an assessment of the market environment at a specific point in time, should not be relied upon as investment advice, and is not intended to predict or depict performance of any investment. Any specific recommendations or comparisons that are made as to particular securities or strategies are for illustrative purposes only and are not meant as investment advice for any viewer.